Hi there, you're listening to the Crunchy Catholic Podcast. I'm your host, Rosie, traditional Catholic wife and mother, bringing you messages of hope and encouragement during these crazy times that we're in. Here we'll talk about faith, motherhood, and natural living, but also all the areas in between. I want to help you not just survive motherhood, but thrive in it. In this day and age, we have so many resources at the tip of our fingers if only we put in the effort. I am a firm believer in personal development and always striving to put our best foot forward. Sometimes that means the more technical matters like baby wearing or sleep training, but it also refers to the most important matters such as prayer life and living out the truths of our Catholic faith. While all these resources are nice, I also know that it can be a bit overwhelming knowing where to even begin. That's why I'm here to help you find the balance between all the things that come with mom life while also living out your Catholic faith in a way that is pleasing to God and effective to the development of your soul and the souls of your children. After all, that's why we're here. All right, without further ado, let's get into today's episode. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Crunchy Catholic Podcast. I apologize for it being a whole month since my last episode. I was so excited and determined to do weekly, which maybe was just too ambitious of me, as life would have it. And I feel like I'm always giving some kind of disclaimer like this. My kids have been very sick with this cough that I've just been unable to do my usual, you know, after they go to sleep work time or early morning work time, or even having them off with a babysitter for a day, which is what the current situation is, which has been a very nice and productive way of getting some business things done. But of course, while they were sick, that wasn't really an option. So anyhow, always just surrendering to God's will and trusting that things will happen in the timing that they are meant to happen. So this will probably get released right toward the end of, hopefully not like Good Friday. I'm going to try to release this on Thursday because that's just not really appropriate to release it on Good Friday. It is not relevant to Good Friday. I already kind of talked about Lent in my last episode. So today's episode is talking about homeschooling. This is a huge, 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 huge topic. And some of you listening, this might completely not apply to you. For a while, I was like, oh, I'm not going to do an episode about that because it's not going to apply to everyone. But that just doesn't make sense. There's going to be lots of things that I want to talk about that aren't going to apply to everyone. So you can either listen or not listen. I think there are still going to be great takeaways, even if you have, say, kids who are too young to even be in school, or if you are already, your kids are in school and they're not homeschooled, so you're just like, well, that's just not for us. You could still probably get some good takeaways from this, just from some of the different like reasonings and, you know, parenting concepts and things that I will be talking about. So we are free winging it here. I have no notes. I don't have a list of pros and cons like a lot of really organized podcasters do. But this is something that if someone were to ask me, and people have, you know, why are you homeschooling? I just have so many strong feelings about it. So I finally want to share, because for a while, I didn't really know why I felt so strongly about it. I was like, why do I feel inclined to homeschool when we have a wonderful school, you know, within very reasonable distance to us? And I couldn't really understand it. But luckily, I did within time to decide to start my oldest in her kindergarten year of homeschool. So last summer, as you recall, I was working full time. And so the decision, of course, had been on my heart of what we were going to do. Were we going to send her to school or were we going to homeschool? And I would say prior to like 1 year ago, maybe like 2 years ago. So when she was like three, turning four, it didn't even like cross my mind that we would homeschool, honestly, because the private Catholic school that I went to, kindergarten through 12th grade, and all my sisters went to, actually my parents went to. So now that my nieces and nephews are attending, it's actually a third generation of attending, which is awesome. It's a great, wonderful school. You know, they frequently attend the sacraments. It's the same church that we attend Sunday Mass. There's so many wonderful reasons to send her to school there. And my whole life, and then when I first became a mom, I just obviously assumed that was where my kids would go to school. And so when it first crossed my mind, so going more toward maybe like a year or two ago, Actually, now that I think about it, we're in 2024. So 4 years ago, goodness gracious, it's already been 4 years since COVID. 4 years ago is when a lot of people were actually forced to homeschool because of schools closing and all of that. So I would say, and I actually addressed this two episodes ago, I believe it was, about like embracing our homemaking calling and all of that. 4 years ago is when like the movement of homeschooling began because so many moms had to. And so they started to see the benefits of it. And it started to be really talked about on social media and different resources started coming out and different like even statistics, like people were noticing the difference of their kids being taught at home versus in a school. And so I would say as all of that exposure and, you know, knowledge came to surface is probably what led me to start considering it like in the very back of my head. And it's kind of crazy because, you know, in my circle, like most people do send their kids to the school that I'm talking about. And one of my sisters, I have seven sisters. We all have multiple children, or I guess all but one of us. So one of my sisters does homeschool and the rest who have school-age children, they go to this school. Actually, correction, two of my sisters homeschool. Sorry, Florida sister who I just forgot about. I didn't forget about you, but I just forgot that you homeschool. So two sisters actually homeschool. One has for many years because her oldest is going to be a teenager this year. She actually has a degree in education. So for her, it just made sense. So for me, I was thinking, oh, she's a teacher. Of course, she wants to teach her kids, you know, but it's just probably not for me. And the way I always viewed it was like, well, I don't have the organization skills to be a homeschool mom. I am going to enjoy that little break from my children so I can get caught up on, you know, cleaning the house as if that's more important. I'm not shaming moms who do have that viewpoint in mind. So a little disclaimer to this entire episode. Please, oh, please, oh, please, non-homeschool moms, do not think that I am in any way trying to shame your decision whatsoever. Not at all. That's why this is kind of a weird topic, because it's something that I am sharing why we chose to do it the way we're doing it. But it's also not at all like, hey, this is the right way. I do feel very strongly that way about many other things, which we won't go into right now, but there are many, many, many things that I feel very strongly about when it comes to parenting that I do think is the way to go. And I will try strongly to, you know, convince people of that, like certain medical decisions for your children and certain parenting styles, etc. But when it comes to homeschooling or not, it is something that is 110% unique to each family and your set of circumstances. So again, for me, viewing my sister who had homeschooled for so long and just kind of determining that that was like great for her, but not for me. And then my other sister who ended up homeschooling, she didn't live close enough to this other school option. It just wasn't an option for them. So it was basically like public school or homeschool. I think they tried public school for a little bit and it was not a good fit. So anyway, she is now homeschooling and it's going great for them. So I started seeing these benefits of my sisters whose children were not bogged down with homework and research projects and, you know, waking up early and being at school all day. I was just starting to see this like major contrast, thinking, you know, does this make sense that we do this to kids? Like, it just really had me questioning things. And I was so confused that I even could possibly feel that way because I loved school. I know that sounds crazy because kids don't really like going to school, but I actually pretty enjoyed school. I was just one of those kids that enjoyed, you know, answering the questions correctly. You could call me a teacher's pet, okay? I'm just going to admit it. I was that kid. I strived for good grades. I got pretty good grades. I was the valedictorian at the senior, you know, commencement, graduation, all of that. I was that kid who really actually enjoyed school. I did very well academically. I enjoyed it. I was that kid. But then as I was... Sorry, I hope that didn't sound prideful. I'm looking at it and I'm like, oh my goodness. I was trying to explain that I did not base our homeschooling decision on the fact that I did not like school, because that's actually not true. So that's why it was even more confusing to me that I was having these considerations, because I was like, well, wait a second, I liked school. I have the exact same school available for my kids. Why would I not send them there? So I started praying about it and thinking about it and looking at, you know, my sisters and also just so many social media accounts who talk about the pros and cons of homeschooling. And then additionally, you have the factor of like the specific child. So I'm going to get into that as like a second half of this. So for the first half, I want to elaborate a little bit more on just the specific, like, or not specific, like the broader benefits, basically. So when you're seeing kids who do attend traditional school, I'm just going to say traditional, and that's going to mean public or private. Yes, I was about to say charter, but I actually don't fully know. We're just going to say traditional. That's going to cover all school except homeschool. So traditional school kids who attend are, of course, restricted to a schedule of having to be there at a certain time and, you know, leaving at a certain time and typically having a lot of homework. I think the homework thing might be worse in like private schools and Catholic schools. As far as I know, I don't fully know about public schools. Maybe it's bad in public schools as well. The more I read, it kind of seems like it is. But I almost feel like it's a lot more intense in recent years than it was like when I was a kid. I mean, I certainly remember having a lot of homework and really, really resenting having to come home, usually after like a couple hours in sports of some sort, and literally having to like bring my homework to the dinner table and like scarf down my dinner and then go to my room and do homework and then go to sleep and then wake up and do it all over again. I remember that. And I know I just told you I liked school, but that part I was not a fan of. So looking back, I remember being so bogged down with homework, but it was just normal. We didn't know any different. And so looking at kids that I know, like my nieces and nephews and other friends' children who literally have homework all the time, including the weekend, like all this homework where they're just not even able to like enjoy life and family time and the things that are really important. I look at those kids and I think, I don't want that to be my kids. Like I was starting to realize that there was another option. So the homework thing alone is huge. And then the schedule thing, like for us, I think about what time we would have to get up to get to school, because for us, it's about a half hour drive. And, you know, having my daughter look presentable and me, I would want to look presentable, especially if, you know, she's having a day and she needs to be walked in or whatever. And then my two other kids, of course, they are not used to being up that early. So I would be waking them up and everyone's pretty hangry if they don't have a good breakfast. So I commend you traditional school moms who get your kids up super early, ready and presentable and out the door. I cannot even imagine having to do that every day. When we do have somewhere to be, it feels like it's such chaos in the mornings. And I just think about like what that does to our nervous system. I mean, mine and my children. And I think, oh my goodness, doing that every day sounds crazy. And for so many people, it's just normal. Like that's just, well, that's how life is. You got to get them ready for the real world. But do we have to get them ready for the real world in that way and at that young? I know that when we're adults, we have to be used to like the hustle and bustle of getting up early for a job, or, you know, you could even argue like, okay, by high school, maybe that should be an expectation. But for your little kids who maybe had a rough night of sleep, to have to be up by a certain time and then have that hustle and bustle of, you know, out the door and then see you later, mom, I'm not going to see you until, you know, it's like almost 4 o'clock. I'm just like, that just is not sitting right with me. Okay, so you've got the homework thing, the strict schedule thing, and that's just the day-to-day strict schedule thing. What about the more broad, like, hey, you know, let's say your husband randomly got a day off of work and now you all can go do something as a family because the kids aren't in school. Or let's say your husband randomly got like a whole week off of work, you know, maybe you're on maternity leave or something, or he's on a paternity leave, and it's actually like family time. You can go do something, take a small little staycation, vacation or something like that, because the kids are actually home from school. Now you might argue and say, actually, it would be really nice to have my older kids in school while I'm on a maternity leave. I can see that, but I can also see the other way of like, I really enjoyed, I know those early weeks are so crazy, but I can't imagine like my daughter, now she actually wasn't old enough to be going to school by the time my third was born. She was actually only four, but if she had been five, let's just say, like imagine he was born and then she just had to like keep going to school and she just is barely seeing him. I don't know. It just feels like she would be missing out. And to me, it seems like that family unit, that family bonding is so important. So I just really started to see things in such a different light. So the homework thing, the schedule thing, the family time. I am just blown away thinking about how much she would be gone if she were going to school. So she currently would only be in kindergarten. And I say would be because even though she's homeschooled, I don't even really consider grades in my head too much because we follow like various different curriculums and we kind of go at her pace while also still challenging her. Like I don't view it as like you are in kindergarten and you must meet all these milestones, and I'll get more into that. Anyhow, she would be in kindergarten if she were going to traditional school, which means at our school, it's only every other day. But by next year in first grade, she would be gone every day if she were going to traditional school, this private school. And that means, I mean, I had to go through that, you know, not being with her that much last year when I was working, actually way more because that was a lot of hours that I was working. But I remember one of my big reasons of wanting to homeschool was I was simply not ready to say goodbye to her that much. I don't know. Like, I don't know if that sounds crazy, but I'm just like, this is my little six-year-old. I am not ready to just be like, off you go, have fun spending more time with a different grown-up than with your own mother. And I don't know why, like, none of this used to seem so crazy to me, but now it does. Now I'm just like, wait a second, six is so young, or, you know, five, if you're talking about kindergarten. That is so, so young. Like, they're barely done being a toddler, and you're ready to just kind of be done with them. Okay, that sounds really extreme. I don't mean done with them, but if you think about how much guidance and parenting and, like, moment by moment assistance with understanding life and decision making and processing their emotions, like they still need you so much at that age. And we go and have them be with another adult who, I love my church, I love my school, but I have no idea each of those individual teachers, most of them are nuns. I love our nuns, I love them, but I have no idea how they're going to handle, like, if she's having a hard time emotionally processing something. And to me, that is a huge deal. Helping her to, like, understand and process and stabilize and validate her emotions is literally more important than if she knows the ins and outs of, like, all her sight words. 100%. 100%. And I used to probably not feel that way. I used to view it as, like, oh, you can't homeschool because their academics will be, what's the word I'm looking for? It'll suffer for it. Now I'm like, okay, do you see what's happening in our world? Like, do you see the crisis we're in? Like the average mental state of children and young adults, and it's because they're just thrown into this system. And I know it's not like I even would have to be faced with sending her to public school. Thanks be to God, that would never have to be an option for us. I mean, even if we moved away from this church, like, then we definitely would homeschool. But I know that I'm not comparing homeschool versus public school. Like many, many, many of you might be saying, well, we have the private, you know, the church that we send them to. However, I just feel like an environment of, you know, a dozen kids, or maybe not quite a dozen, maybe it's not quite that much of a ratio. I don't remember what the kindergarten class up there is. They might be like, I don't know, seven or something. That ratio and just the situation of having to sit in a desk for that long. I mean, granted, they have recess and I'm sure they have fun, like sit in a circle times and, you know, they can be a little more interactive. But for the most part, like the general idea of the classroom setting, because of course they're trying to get them ready for, you know, a more strict atmosphere of like first grade, second grade, and so on. that to me is just like, a five-year-old is not ready for that. And I know so many kids have done this for so many years, but the more I think about it, I'm just like, that seems so detrimental. Like, they're still a little kid. Okay, anyways, that is enough on one topic. So for me, I just do not feel like they are ready to not be with their mother. And you might be saying, okay, well, what if I'm a working mom and being with them full-time isn't even an option anyways? Okay, you're right. That's why factors are so different for every family. You know, I'm sure there's also a lot of great homeschooling dads out there, but I totally get it. If you're obviously both working parents and, you know, income needs dictate that you need to be doing that. I mean, trust me, I totally get it. We're one income right now, and certainly, yeah, things are things. So I get it. I really, really do. All I'm doing is sharing with you kind of the reasoning behind like our thought process and sharing it because there might be somebody listening who is like teetering between pulling their kid out, or maybe your kid isn't old enough yet and you're like, hey, I need to dabble into like the pros and cons of why I should maybe consider homeschooling. So covered a few facts. A few more general things is like the wild, wild concept that I did not realize of how little time you actually need in a day to teach your kid what you need to teach them. So this isn't just like homeschool mom's opinion. This is actually like college degree educators who have come home to teach their kids, and like statistics and studies and all the things. I'm not going to cite and source things here because I don't have them off the top of my head, but just trust me or look into it for yourself. But the amount of time that a kid needs to learn something in a classroom environment where there's like, you know, 10 kids and a teacher or what have you versus at home one-on-one is astronomically different. We're talking an 8-hour school day versus quite literally like 45 minutes tops. And I remember when I heard that, I was like, what? That's crazy. But when you're working with them one-on-one and they can ask their questions and get them answered right away, and you can literally be sitting there with them like, yeah, you know, this is how it's done. Wait, what? And they're not understanding it, and you re-explain it and now they get it versus like, imagine a teacher in a classroom talking and talking for 20 minutes and the kid is sitting there puzzled but not quite like thinking to raise their hand because maybe the teacher said no questions yet until the end, and they're just sitting there completely lost. Like, what is she saying? And then they start daydreaming because now they're just lost, so they're not even paying attention. I mean, can you even just take a wild guess? Like, how much do you think a five-year-old is 100% engaged with what the teacher is saying? Do you really think they're engaged the entire day? Or do you think they're like reaching into their desk and building little stacks of pencils or playing with like the little design on their wood desk? I know I was that kid. I was not sitting there fully absorbing what the teacher was saying 100% of the time. So there's that aspect where people are like, how can 8 hours equate to 45 minutes? Well, it's because those 8 hours are like, you know, it's quality over quantity. So you can have 8 hours of like occasionally they're actually absorbing 100% of what is being taught, or the 45 minutes at home with their mother who knows them best and who can read their face and be like, you're not quite getting this. Let's say it another way. Okay, now you've got it. And boom, you just made like the same progress that perhaps would have been made in an 8-hour school day. And they're learning it from the one who knows them best, who can deliver it in a way that they best can comprehend it. My mind is blown the more and more I think about 10 kids in a classroom, 10 different personalities, learning styles, ages for that matter. I mean, at that age, I think a freshly 5-year-old versus an almost 6-year-old is so, so different. I was that kid who was almost 6 when I started kindergarten. Literally a couple weeks later, I turned 6. So, you know, I missed the cutoff. I couldn't actually go the year before. So you could say that that's why everything came, you know, fairly easily to me. And I always view that. Now my daughter is May, so she would have been a young kindergartner. And I just think, you know, whenever I compare like, oh, is she as caught up as she should be? At the time of recording this, it's literally March. So she's still not six, even though we're getting like somewhat close to the end of the school year. And I'm like, you know, if I ever think, oh, am I behind because we're homeschooling? Maybe I'm not as on top of it as I should be. I literally remind myself, you know what? She is still not the age that I was when I started kindergarten, just because of the way the cutoff is. So that's always very reassuring to me to say, you know what? We're good. But if you look at a classroom and you've got, you know, almost a year between some of these kids, at that age, that's a really big difference. And so to put the same level of expectation, like, hey, each of you needs to be able to understand, you know, X, Y, Z by the end of this week, like that's what the curriculum is. And some of them are going to get it and some of them aren't. That's just how it's going to be. But in a school setting, that's not really an option. The ones who don't get it, it's seen as like they're behind. Whereas I view it as like, you know what, pick any, like any given adult for that matter, let's jump all the way to that. We've already had our schooling. Any given adult is going to be like very drastically different in their intelligence on different subjects versus another adult. My husband can spiel off like any history fact, geography fact. Like he's one of those people that could play on Jeopardy and just know random stuff. I'm the one who did very well in school, but my memory for anything like that is not so great. It's not good. It's kind of embarrassing, actually. And a lot of my sisters and I talk about this. We're like, yeah, we did well in school because we knew what to study for like a test, but long-term memory, a lot of it did not stick, which is kind of unfortunate. And sometimes I think maybe the learning style, this kind of is proving my whole point, it's possible that the learning style of like, hey, here's the test, like it's very crystal clear what you need to do to get an A. And so I did exactly what I needed to do to get an A. But as far as actually being like fully interested in those topics to a point that I retained what was being learned, I kind of missed the boat on that. Like I literally did. Whereas in homeschooling, you have the opportunity of being able to do that. If there's something that they are interested in learning more about, you can just let them take that direction. Like I'll be telling my daughter about one animal. She loves learning about animals. Favorite thing. And I know that might not be like academically kindergarten curriculum, but you know what? She's expanding her mind by doing that. Like she can spiel off facts. I don't know why I keep saying spiel. I think it's spiel. Spiel? Anyways, spiel. She can spiel off facts about like how fast different animals can run. She literally remembers things that I don't. So bless her. I think she got her father's memory. Thank goodness. But it's fun because she can ask about like a different animal or a different fact and we can just go that direction. Hey friends, I am interrupting my own self here to come in with a brief recording to tell you that I am actually splitting this episode up into two different parts. I don't think I've ever done that with any episodes, but in an effort to keep these episodes roughly 30 minutes or less, I was recording this and realized I already surpassed the 25-minute mark and I don't feel like I was close to being done, probably more like halfway done. So I'm going to end this first half, even though it's not exactly like ended, and we will just pick up in part two.